Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, we just had a pretty comprehensive discussion about what qualities voters should be looking for when choosing candidates to fill the three soon-to-be vacant sheriff seats in our region. Ashland County residents might also want to be aware of some bank accounts reportedly set up by outgoing Sheriff Mick Brennan's department.
Yeah, and this week the Ashland County Board voted to close these separate accounts maintained by the Ashland County Sheriff's Office after they were revealed in an audit. They approved a proposal to close two accounts that totaled more than $100,000 at the end of last year. And those accounts include inmate revenues from canteen sales at the Ashland County Jail, and that money will be transferred to the county's general fund and set aside in a restricted account for an inmate wellness program. And the county board also approved allowing the treasurer to call financial institutions in the region to seek out and close any other separate accounts that may exist. County board members had previously raised concerns about the lack of public oversight of those funds. And Ashland County Sheriff Mick Brennan has previously told WPR that there's been no mismanagement of those funds. He says those accounts have existed for roughly 20 years and has said that no funds have been stolen or have gone missing. But that's not entirely true because roughly $41,000 has gone missing from the Ashland County Jail, according to the Ashland Daily Press. The jail's former administrator was investigated after he failed to deposit somewhere between $40,000 to $50,000 in jail revenues, but he died during that inquiry, and an investigation by the Douglas County Sheriff's Department found no evidence to support any charges of theft, but found that there was clear evidence of financial mismanagement.
All right. Well, nowhere near as secretive are plans by a Canadian mining company to do some exploration in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, a Canadian mining company known as Greenlight Metals, based in Toronto, appears to be moving ahead with plans to drill for gold and copper in north central Wisconsin after it received an exploration license from the state last month. They have also filed technical reports with Canadian authorities that say the Reef and Bend deposits in Taylor and Marathon counties have economic interests that warrant further exploration. And the company says that the Bend deposit, which is located within the Shawamiga-Nicolet National Forest in Taylor County, contains roughly 4 million tons of mostly copper and gold, while the Reef deposit, which is about a dozen miles east of Wausau in Marathon County, contains around 454,000 tons of gold reserves. And Ben Callen with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the company still needs more approvals before it can begin drilling. He says the company plans to collect more information during the growing season about wetlands and surrounding habitat. That might require permits in order to move forward. And that information that's collected would also be included as part of the company submitting what's called a notice of intent. And that filing is necessary to outline the company's plans before they can begin any drilling.
All right. Well, I don't know if they'll be doing any of that mining exploration in caves, but if they do, they might keep their eyes open for the long-eared bat, if they can find one.
Yeah, well, and the northern long-eared bats are known for hiding in cracks and tight spots within caves. And so that makes them kind of difficult to find compared to other bats that, you know, you can see out in the open in caves. But now they're at risk of disappearing altogether. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced a proposal to list the bat as an endangered species because a deadly fungal disease has devastated the once common species. And so this disease, known as white nose syndrome, was first discovered in New York in 2007, and it was spotted in far southwestern Wisconsin just 7 years later. And over the last 15 years or so, the bat's population has declined 97 to 100% across most of its range. And Owen Boyle with the Wisconsin DNR says they used to see hundreds of these bats each winter during surveys, but now less than a dozen bats are typically found each year statewide, and he says it's arguably the most significant decline of a species in the state since the passenger pigeon extinction in the early 1900s. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is holding a hearing on its proposal April 7th, and it plans to issue a final decision by November.
Well, let's hope its population recovers. Rick, on the Minnesota side, there's a tragic connection to the war in Ukraine.
Yes, there is. Eveleth native Jimmy Hill was killed in Ukraine last week by a Russian bomb, according to U.S. State Department information that they relayed to his sister, Katya. Katya Hill discussed what she knew about the incident during a Zoom conference on Saturday. Jimmy, who was 68, was searching for buses to help people out of the city of Chernihiv in a safe corridor. And after seeing over 1,000 people in line for these buses, he then decided to turn back and check on his wife, Irina, who was in the hospital with multiple sclerosis. But before he could reach her, a Russian bomb was dropped into the civilian area near the hospital, killing Jimmy. Katya said the U.S. State Department does not know where his body is now. Jimmy went to Ukraine with his wife to pursue long-term treatment for her MS. Since the conflict began, he had been posting updates on Facebook about how he and his wife were doing. He reported how bombings were getting closer and closer and more intense. During his time in Ukraine, Katya said Jimmy was creating escape plans for himself, his wife, and Ukrainians. He has Airbnb properties in Idaho and Montana and was figuring out how many families he could place in those Airbnbs. Katya said to many people in that city, Jimmy was a local hero.
And our thoughts go out to his family. Eveleth, of course, is famous for its local hockey heroes. It has the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. We've got some local teams who've made good.
Yes, we have. The UMD women's hockey team had advanced to the NCAA championship on Sunday. Unfortunately, came a goal short of winning another championship. They have five championships altogether. Ohio State defeated them 3-2 on the campus of Penn State University. The Buckeyes joined the Bulldogs, the Minnesota Gophers, Wisconsin Badgers, and Clarkson Golden Knights as just the fifth school in 21 tournaments to win an NCAA women's hockey title. UMD went nine seasons between 2011 and 2020 with just one NCAA tournament appearance, but now has made the Frozen Four in consecutive seasons. Of interest for next year, the NCAA Frozen Four will be held at Amsoil Arena right in Duluth, and UMD is poised to maybe make another run at that. They return 17 of the 22 players that dressed for Sunday's championship to the team next season. Now, on the same day that the UMD women were playing in the national championship, the UMD men found out where they were heading for the NCAA playoffs, and they were scheduled to play Michigan Tech Thursday afternoon in Loveland, Colorado, and another on Saturday if they advance to then make it to the Frozen Four again in the men's tournament.
Well, congrats to both teams for their entire seasons. And I'm not going to say I'm saving the best for last, but how about the story with the most drama over the past few weeks? What is going on with the mayor of Two Harbors?
Well, the very latest in Two Harbors is that some residents of that city are collecting signatures as they try to recall Mayor Chris Swanson. After several weeks of meetings, a group of residents on Monday presented their certificate for recall of Swanson to city administration and then began collecting the almost 450 signatures, 20% of the registered voters in the city, that are needed for a recall to move forward. This comes after a really tumultuous 2 months for Swanson, which began with concerns over his underwater hotel and cryptocurrency pursuits, and has led to other potential conflicts of interest and ethical concerns coming to light. The certificate lists examples of what the group says are violations of the city's code of conduct and ethics, and they include Swanson represented himself as mayor when soliciting funds for the Friends of the Van Shell Park through his business, which is called Garage Starts. They say Swanson failed to disclose that the newly formed First Day Events, which originally had the contract to organize the Festival of Sail, was formed by his daughter, Ashley, and run by an employee of Garage Starts. They also say that Swanson used his Twitter account, which identifies him as mayor, to promote his nonprofit National Civility Association. And another note that they have is that Swanson in a podcast about the underwater hotel stated that being mayor, he gets a little bit of sway, that he's able to secure quite a bit of funding through the state. Now, according to the Two Harbors City Charter, a recall petition can move forward if 20% of the registered voters sign a statement of removal that outlines, quote, allegations of malfeasance or nonfeasance. There were 2,241 registered voters in Two Harbors the morning of the 2020 general election, and that means that almost 450 voters in the city would have to sign this petition for it to be considered by city administration. As it is right now, Swanson's term is up in January 2025.
All right. I got the feeling we haven't heard the end of it yet, regardless of how the petition effort fares. We've been speaking with Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with, well, you know what it is, even if you haven't quite heard it this way. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.